The Cougars' opponents and rivals right now in a Know the Foe segment on Cougar Sports with Ben Kretel.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. This is Bryce Larson taking over for Ben Kretel today as he gets ready for Thanksgiving. Hunter Miller along with me. We're going to get into a Know the Foe segment here with Kevin Borba, Stanford beat writer for SI.com. Before we do so, I just want to remind you, this Know the Foe segment is brought to you by Larry H. Miller, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram in Provo. Take a break from inflation with 0% for 60 months plus no pay for 90 days. That's at Larry H. Miller, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Talk to my guy, Curtis Grieve. He'll get you set up there at Larry H. Miller. All right, let's get out to the Chubby's Cafe hotline and welcome in our next guest of the program, Kevin Borba. He is the editor and publisher of CardinalCountry.com. Kevin, how's it going, man? Thanks for hopping on with us today.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, first of all, let's jump right into this. Give me your overall thoughts on this season for the Stanford Cardinal, and just what were the expectations like coming into the season, and how have they, I don't know, maybe they've been met, maybe they haven't been. Just what were the expectations like, and what has the season been like for the fans and everybody at Stanford?
Yeah, that's a loaded question right there. I think going into the season, the fan base was a little pessimistic, but there was some hope that Stanford, bringing in one of the most experienced teams in the country, would be able to at least scrape together six wins, maybe make a bowl game. But those expectations just haven't been met. They've been struggling on both sides of the ball. They've been struggling with play calling, injuries. That every excuse in the book has kind of come out for Stanford and just hasn't really gone their way. And so now Stanford kind of finds himself playing for just pride and, I guess, vibe for at the end of the season.
Yeah, Coach Shaw mentioned that really their biggest motivation in this game against BYU is to send the seniors out with a win. Is that the only motivation for this team going into this game, since, you know, no bowl game or anything?
Yeah, I think, especially for these seniors, I think they've only been a part of one winning season, at least the fourth-year seniors. Unless you're counting the COVID season when they went 4-2. And so I think, yeah, sending them out on a high note is kind of a motivation. I also think there may be some job implications for this game. I don't know if David Shaw's job is going to be saved or lost in this game, but some coordinators may have a chance to prove themselves or may have an extra chance to show what they can change in order to succeed in the coming years, because you really can't learn much from this game. I think it's just more so get to the end of the season at this point.
Yeah, what's kind of been the downfall of Stanford as a program, right? Christian McCaffrey, it wasn't too long ago that he was running around there at Stanford, and since he left, you know, there just hasn't been, I don't know, what's kind of been what started the downfall and what's kind of perpetuated it for this long?
Yeah, me and I'm on a podcast with my good buddy that we call Tailgaters Podcast. We actually have talked about this before, and Stanford is kind of stuck in this archaic method of football, and their whole MO is that people come to Stanford to get a great education, and there's a lot of athletic success, but they haven't really adapted to the times. And so you're mentioning the Christian McCaffrey era and even the Bryce Love era. They had NFL caliber guys all over the field, and their system worked. They had elite athletes back then. They were dominant in the trenches, and they're just not dominant in the trenches anymore. They're not having the same success play calling wise. I think we're seeing a little reluctancy from David Shaw company to change things up. He hasn't changed coordinators once throughout his tenure, and I don't know. I just think that they're kind of, I don't say they're borderline sanity, but we all know the definition of insanity. In the same thing, expecting a different result, and it kind of feels like they're doing just that. And so Stanford just hasn't been able to get the same level of player. They haven't been able to develop their players. I think they're getting quality players. It's just a lack of development. They've had injury issues. And quite frankly, they're just not keeping up with the time.
One of the bright spots for Stanford this year has been, you know, the quarterback in Tanner McKee, and he's got, you know, over 2,500 yards, 12 touchdowns in his 11 games played this season. What kind of skill set does he bring to the game, and you know, what can BYU fans expect to see from him this season or this week?
Yeah, I think Tanner McKee is definitely one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the country, and I think the team struggling this year doesn't really show that. When you look at his stat line, you see 12 touchdowns, so I think 9 interceptions or a high interception count. But that's not really representative of how good of a quarterback he is. This offense just really forces him to kind of throw into tight windows constantly. But he has a huge arm. He's more athletic than people give him credit. He can scoot a little bit. He's not going to be running all over the field and getting you 30-yard touchdowns or big chunk runs, but can definitely move a little bit. And BYU fans should be familiar. They were one of the schools that were recruiting Tanner McKee heavily before he was on his mission. But yeah, he's got a big arm. He's like a prototypical quarterback, big-bodied, big arm, and really intelligent quarterback. And I think BYU fans and BYU in general will kind of see that this weekend, just because he's going to make some really impressive throws into tight windows, and he is going to show off his cannon a little bit. It's just whether Stanford can get him some open receivers or make some plays is to be seen.
Do you foresee this being his last game in a Stanford uniform if the NFL comes calling? I know I've seen some mock drafts that have him going in the first couple of rounds. Do you? What have you been hearing, and kind of what's your gut feeling? Is this the last time Tanner McKee will play for Stanford?
Yeah, I've seen those same mock drafts, and I think realistically he'll probably go anywhere from the first to third round. I do think, this is my personal thought, I think this will be it for him. I don't know what returning can do for him given the lack of clarity we have on the future of the program. We don't know if David Shaw is going to return. We don't know if it's going to be the same offense. They're also going to have a lot of young players next year. Like I said, they were one of the most experienced teams in the country, so that means they had all their starters are, for the most part, outside of a few freshmen, are most seniors or grad students, and so will returning to a really young team benefit him more than he's already accomplished at the college level? I don't think so. And so I think the best move for him would probably be to move on. But I don't know what his plans are.
By moving on, do you foresee him possibly being a transfer portal candidate as well? Or do you think it's NFL or stay at Stanford for Tanner?
That's a great question. I don't think a lot of people really consider Tanner McKee is a transfer candidate, just because I think they all see him as an NFL upper quarterback right now. But I honestly think should he decide to return to college, there's definitely going to be teams out there that need a quarterback of his caliber. I'm sure BYU would come calling, because I'm pretty sure this is Darren Hall's last run at it. There's going to be people calling. And so I think he could be a dark horse transfer candidate. Kind of reminds me like a Keaton Slovis. Obviously, we knew Slovis was going to transfer, but he's an experienced, productive quarterback that had NFL looks, but chose to come back to college. And obviously, it hasn't been as successful for Slovis as he hoped. But I do think that's a great question, because I think at the end of the day, McKee just needs to decide whether he's proven enough to get drafted. And when he goes to get that draft grade, I think that'll really help to determine whether going back to Stanford or transferring is the best decision for him.
We're talking with managing editor and publisher of CardinalCountry.com, Kevin Borba, here on ESPN 960. Kevin, take me back to the couple of bright spots in this season for Stanford. Just a week after BYU lost to Notre Dame in Las Vegas, Stanford was able to knock off Notre Dame 16-14, and then they were able to beat Arizona State as well the following week. So what did Stanford do right in those games to help them get the win? It seems like when Stanford's defense is able to limit the other team from scoring and they kind of show up, that puts them in a spot to be able to win the game.
Yeah, the Notre Dame game, I personally thought that could have been like a momentum swinging win for them. Like you mentioned, huge win over BYU the previous week for Notre Dame. And kind of Notre Dame started to feel themselves a little bit. And so I just thought that maybe they could build momentum off of that. Their defense played extremely well, limiting the Notre Dame's rushing attack, and they put a lot of pressure on Drew Pine, and Drew Pine just wasn't able to make the plays necessary. And same thing with the ASU game. It wasn't the prettiest game, but they won. And so it kind of gave the fan base like a glimmer of hope, because it was like they're playing solid defense. They held both of those teams to 14 points. The Arizona State win was unique. Stanford didn't score a touchdown. It was five field goals. But still, it's kind of like, it makes you think. It's like, okay, if we could win without scoring touchdowns and our defense can play this well, maybe we can turn things around. I think that was kind of the thought around the program. And David Shaw was talking about building off momentum. I just think the thing that hurt them was they had a stretch that included UCLA, Washington State, who's no slouch, and then Utah the following those two games. And so I don't really think they were able to capitalize on that momentum, which has kind of been something that's plagued them. But at one point in the season, it did seem like they were going to kind of turn things around. And I think that was them not turning things around, kind of the end of the season for them.
Yeah, I also wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this as well. Last week against Cal, there was kind of something funny that happened there at the end of the game. They were down 10 points, and with time expiring, they decided to kick the field goal rather than, you know, throw a Hail Mary or anything. Did they ever give an explanation why they decided to kick the field goal as time expired there?
Not that I'm aware of. Having a 60-yard field goal on the resume of Josh Cardy kind of helps his standing for the best kicker in the country award, because he is a perfect 100% this year from all field goals. And so I don't know if maybe that was kind of the motivation, but Stanford is kind of, they've done that multiple games this year. It hasn't been field goals every time, but I want to say it was against Oregon and Washington. And I believe even against UCLA, they got like a, not a pointless score at the end of the game, but a score that didn't really mean much. And that kind of reminded me of that. I think David Shaw is one of those people that plays until the whistle's over, plays until the zero on the clock. And so there was still time on the clock. And so in his head, they're still trying to score.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm sure a lot of people weren't very happy about that one.
Real quick, tell me about some of these players on the Stanford offense. I think, you know, BYU fans have been down in the dumps about the BYU defense this season, and, you know, they want to know kind of what Stanford brings to the table offensively outside of Tanner McKee. Who are some of the players that BYU fans can expect to get the ball on Saturday and can expect to see them, you know, put on a show?
Yeah, so first things first, Stanford is down to, I want to say, their fifth-string running back, who is actually converted safety, named Mitch Lieber. Last week he had his best game against Cal. He rushed for over 80 yards and rushed for a touchdown. So the rushing attack isn't what it was expected to be at the start of the season, but receivers-wise, they have Elijah Higgins, who is having a career year. He's one of the fastest people in the country. He's a freak athlete, really. Stands in at like 6'3"-ish, over 230 pounds. But last season, he was clocked at, I want to say, 21 miles per hour against UCLA. And so he's a big body, athletic guy. And then they have one of the best tight ends in the country, in Benjamin Jurosik, who, when he gets targets and he gets the ball, he can make plays after the catch. Great at catching contested balls. He's all around, probably outside of the two Utah tight ends, he's probably the best tight end in the country or in the conference. And then they have some younger guys who are getting their shine, John Humphreys. And then, yeah, we got Tanner McKee, who obviously you guys mentioned. And then Ashton Daniels is the third-string quarterback, but has kind of been doubling as a wildcat quarterback / running back, considering they are down to the fifth-string running back. And so they'll see him get some carries out of the wildcat or even out of the backfield.
Kevin, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on some of the Pac-12 realignment rumors that have gone around. What would be the worst case scenario for Stanford, and also the best case scenario for Stanford, and kind of the things that you're hearing that could happen with the program?
Yeah, I think Stanford is kind of a lot more valuable than the public perception is. I think people are looking too much, like recency bias is influencing how people see Stanford too much. And so like, oh, what value does Stanford bring? Just a few years ago, this past decade, for example, Stanford was one of the most successful football programs in the country. They're obviously one of the most competitive overall schools in the country, sports-wise. They bring in like 9 championships a year in other sports. I think for Stanford, there's not really like I would say the worst case scenario would just be if the Pac-12 collapses and they're forced to have to look elsewhere. But the Big Ten has always been intrigued by Stanford, and so I don't really think there's like a instance where Stanford's going to be homeless or something. I think there's always going to be a place for Stanford. It's just whether or not the Pac-12 is able to continue to build, or Stanford will be one of the schools that looks elsewhere. But from what I'm hearing, the Pac-12 plans on staying together and maybe adding a school or two. But yeah, I think Stanford remains in the Pac-12. And I think they're a bigger brand than people really think about.
If Stanford does, let's say, end up going to the Big Ten, do you think it'd be a package deal for Cal as well? Or do you not think that would be taken into consideration if Stanford were to join another conference?
Yeah, Cal's been interesting in all of this realignment stuff. The UC Regents are still giving UCLA some trouble in terms of their move for leaving Cal for the Big Ten, because the two UCs were supposed to stay together. And I do think Cal maybe could get a look. The thing with Cal is they're not really like Stanford's a brand academically. Yeah. Cal is a brand academically, but Stanford's also a brand athletically. I don't think Cal has that same success. And so I think as the Big Ten is going to look at adding Pac-12 schools, it's going to go Oregon, Washington, Stanford. I think those are the three schools that they're certainly going to be interested in. I think Cal may benefit from the traveling aspect, and so they may travel with Stanford, and so that may give them kind of the nod to the Big Ten, because in terms of traveling across the country, I think the closest Big Ten school to any of these West Coast schools is Nebraska. And so, as we all know, that's not very close in proximity. So having people to travel with helps you out. And so I think Cal's kind of like a package deal. I don't really see them as like a marquee brand that conferences are chasing after.
Yeah. Not many direct flights from LAX to Lincoln, Nebraska. but yeah, I do think that's one of the more underrated things that people don't talk about quite as much, is, how conference realignment affects, schools in a similar region. And obviously Cal and Stanford with their storied rivalry and, being in the Bay Area, it's interesting to see how, a movement by one might affect the other. But speak to kind of that Stanford brand football-wise. I think it's well talked about Stanford as a school, right? An Ivy League-esque school on the West Coast, and the academics that come from that. It's obviously a big selling point to recruits. But football-wise, if you were to sell the brand of Stanford on the field, kind of what would be your pitch to the Big Ten or some of these other conferences?
Yeah, I think the pitch to the Big Ten, or even just recruits in general, because I think that's a point that people don't quite understand sometimes, is one, when you're coming to Stanford, you're getting a world-class education. They're one of the best universities in the world. And football-wise, these past few years, I kind of like, recency bias is definitely a thing. And I think people are all going to be like, well, they haven't won in the past 4 seasons. That, I mean, you're not wrong. But when you go back to this past decade, they had NFL players on NFL players coming out from everywhere, every position. You could make it to the pros from Stanford. They're going to put out a few pro guys this year. If McKee goes out, they're going to put out probably a top 3-round quarterback. They're going to put out top 3-round defensive back. And so everybody's goal is to make it to the NFL. I don't think anybody disagrees with that statement. Every young athlete's goal is to make it to the professional level. You can do that at Stanford. You can get a great education. Great education. And Stanford has also shown a willingness, or they're going to show a willingness. I wrote about this today over at my site. They're looking more into NIL stuff. I don't think Stanford has really capitalized on NIL well enough. Same thing with the transfer portal. Those are things that they're looking to continue. So that shows that they're investing in football and that they want to be successful, or at least partially investing. What they do with the coaching staff, I think, will kind of show how serious they are about football. But in terms of recruiting it, they're giving the program everything that all the competitive programs want. So I think if you're the Big Ten or recruits, you see that they're competitive in the past. They have the resources to be competitive. And of course, you're getting a top tier academic school. And so it's really hard to turn that down.
What is it? BYU fans, obviously, it's not a rivalry, but there's, you know, maybe some ill feelings from BYU fans and Stanford fans just because Stanford has been so successful at recruiting the LDS athlete and guys from Utah. You know, you talk about Simi Fehoko and, you know, Tanner McKee, a couple of LDS athletes that chose Stanford over BYU. And now you've got Hunter Clegg and Walker Lyons, another couple that have committed to Stanford at the tight end position. Why do you think Stanford has been so successful at recruiting these LDS athletes?
Yeah, I think for starters, I think David Shaw has done a good job of assuring these guys that obviously it's okay to go on your mission and you'll come back and there's going to be a spot for you. I think a lot of the times, and this is just me speculating, but I feel like programs elsewhere around the country might shy away from that. Tanner McKee obviously generated a ton of interest as one of the top-rated quarterbacks in his class with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and all those guys. But yeah, Stanford, I think they're just selling people on the education, selling people on the experience that Stanford has to offer of a low-key place where you could come develop to be an NFL talent. And I think that's what really hits home with these guys because they want to play at the pro level, and Stanford offers that opportunity. It's not to say that BYU doesn't. It's just Stanford has a proven track record of doing so.
No, yeah, I think it's interesting. Dalton Schultz, again, another one, a Utah kid who went to Stanford. So there's obviously that track record of success, which, you know, provides for an interesting matchup on the field. I think despite these two teams, you know, not meeting very frequently, and BYU's never defeated Stanford. In fact, the one Pac-12 school that BYU's never beaten on the football field. What's your predictions for this weekend's game? And if you could give us a, you know, a final score prediction as well.
Yeah, honestly, I'm aware. I think they've played twice all time, right? BYU is 0-2 at the moment.
Yep.
I do think I'm going to give them their first win over Stanford right before they head to the Big 12. Who knows the next time these two programs will be able to square off. I'm going to give BYU the nod here. I think Jaren Hall is obviously a very, very dynamic quarterback. You guys, seems like the BYU receivers take turns popping off every week. It seems like each week there's a new receiver going up for over 130 yards. I think Chris Brooks is going to have a big game against this Stanford defense that struggles against the run. Score-wise, I'm probably going to go BYU 38, Stanford, I'll go 17.
Yeah, I'd love it if the BYU defense could hold a P5 opponent below 20 points. That would be unreal. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Stanford's offense kind of, I don't want to say they fizzled, but once BYU, I mean, this is what other teams have done. They realize that Stanford's not really trying to run the ball with their safety at running back, and so they kind of just key in on the passing attack and just pressure Tanner McKee, and I think they take away they make Tanner McKee uncomfortable, and that's what brings them success. And so I think this BYU team might find a little more confidence heading into the bowl season right before.
Well, that's a solid take. Hey, Kevin, we appreciate you hopping on with us today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
No problem. That was Kevin Borba, editor and publisher of CardinalCountry.com, Stanford's Sports Illustrated page. All right, so on the other side, we're going to get to a Cougar beat. We're going to welcome in Sean Walker of KSL.com, get his thoughts on this BYU basketball team as they lost 82-76. They made it close to USC today in the Battle for Atlantis tournament. All right, Sean Walker coming up on the other side. You're listening to Cougar Sports right here on ESPN 960.
Bart Scott.